Hare Krishna. We are very curious.
Is there a message here? Sushila Maharaj asked me to give the morning class about the third verse of Shakshashtakam. The third verse. And in Bhajan Rahasya, it's connected with the third Prahara in Krishna Lila, when Krishna is entering the forest, leaving behind those who love him, leaving them in filling with salt. Of course, his friends are accompanying him, but his relatives, Yashodananda, and most important is other girls of Vrindavan who gave him his heart. They stay separated, and they only it remains for them to think about him, and it makes one, separation makes one humble. The third verse of Shakshashtakam that we will be trying to discuss today is describing Nishtha level, when our devotion is coming out of the dangerous zone. The zone, the powers, the pulling energy, which is pulling us back, is still there and still active in our mind. In this level of nishtha, or unflinching faith, unflinching practice is a very important stage, and the mood which is described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also very important. On one hand, he is describing this level as something that happens to one, the state of consciousness that one reaches, but at the same time he's giving us a very important tool by which we can reach Ishta. Let us together chant this verse. With your blessings, I will try to say a few words about this verse. The Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in which we have fortune and honor to participate, means that one becomes completely transformed. And this verse is describing the stage where one's mind is completely transformed. So Prabhupada gave a wonderful description of a human being as a mind. Sanskrit word manushya, or man, has the same root. Man means man means manas. Human's transformation means that at the first level he transforms his mind. Therefore, the first verse of Shakshashtakam starts with this verse. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us that due to, as a result of Sankirtan, congregational, loud and sincere chanting of the holy name, one's mind is supposed to be clarified, and one's mind eventually should be transformed. Verse is describing the state in which the superficial qualities of mind leave one's mind, and the original qualities of the soul on the soul start to be seen through the mind. When the mirror of our heart is more or less clear, the original qualities of the soul start to become seen through this mind. Once again, this is an essential point that we should always be aware of. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't bring any religion in a mundane understanding. We are not members of just a religion. There are so many religions. There's enough religions out there. Let them figure out what to do themselves. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us the method of self-transformation. Quite often, religion is acting based on the principle of rewards and punishments.
Right?
Yeah. Heaven and hell. If you act properly, you will go to heaven. If you act wrongly, you will go to hell. Quite often, people are quite successful in their engaging this impetus. Quite often, people are successful, in making people do some pious activities. The problem of this reward and punishment is that it doesn't change. It doesn't transform one. On the basis of the same principle of reward and punishment, the animals are trained. Yeah, of course you can train an animal and he will obey. You can also train a human being by the means of religion. He will be obeying, he will be following rules, but nothing will change in his heart. He will be looking for so many pretexts to not to get punishment, but to get reward without following anything. Human beings have developed, on one hand, they develop these huge traditional religions in which this principle is successfully explored, but on the other hand, they have invented hundreds and thousands of pretexts how to avoid it. I visited Israel, and they told me that according to the Jewish principles, you should leave Earth every seventh year. You should not work on it. Because if you work on it, then it will not be kosher. So the land should take rest, at least for 1 year. It will not be kosher. Therefore, on the seventh year, they give it, they give it to the Chinese. So this is how they, this is what they do. So the point is that, this is the proof that human being, when he is acting according to this reward and punishment principle, he is not changing inside. His qualities do not change. He remains the same. By many, many different pretexts and ways, he is trying to avoid the rules and regulations. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, while describing the stimulus for people to do some spiritual activities, he says there are two inferior stimuli, bhaya and ashram. They cannot be, they are not applicable. Sachitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, Bhaya means fear and Ashram means desire for liberation. Unfortunately, quite often, without being aware of that, we are trying to apply the same traditional ideas to our practice. Quite often, the spiritual world seems to us like an eternal heaven. There is a temporary heaven, and we don't want to go there, of course. But there is another eternal heaven. Vaikuntha, there are no problems there. The most wise, and we are the most wise out of all people. For us, it's the same actually. If we obey the rules, if we do this broom broom snake snake every day, then we will go to that broom broom snake snake heaven. We will go to so-called spiritual world. But you can go to the spiritual world only when your nature becomes spiritual. Only when we completely transform our own nature, when our nature becomes similar with that of the spiritual world. And the problem is that, our problem is that quite often we don't see our own problems. 70% of the solution of the problem is to see the problem. We don't see our problems due to a simple reason, because it's quite difficult to change ourselves. Why there is this problem of transforming? Why do we have to give seminars? Why do we have to repeat it again and again? And everything still remains the same. If you mention that, we visited this retreat and that retreat, and we are chanting mantra, but the mind is still the same. There is a huge inertia of the mind for our karma, and this inertia is the reason. The reason of this inertia is that our mind got accustomed to to put different masks on our problems, to disguise our problems. He makes makeup, like cosmetics, and he puts this makeup on our problems and says, this is the best quality of yours, this is your best friend. The mind is constructed in such a way that even the worst qualities, he makes them look like the best qualities. Just recently, I wrote a letter to one devotee. He had some problem, and I wrote about that. And he wrote me back, my gosh, all the life I was thinking that this is one of my best qualities. All my life I had faith that this is one of my best qualities. Many people told me that this is my fault, but I even know that. But inside I saw that actually they don't know anything. But when you wrote to me, I started getting what is the problem actually. And this is the problem. We don't see our own problems, and therefore we cannot solve our problems. The diagnosis of our disease is at least 70% of the solution. The proper diagnosis is 70% of this solution. Therefore, in the second verse of Shukshashtakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
In Vishwanath Chakravarti, the Purinada Acharyas are describing what is the this disease, offenses. And they also give us the solution for this problem, the method how to solve this problem. And that is very simple. Shravan and Kirtanam. We have to remain in the society of devotees and constantly hear. Because hearing, eventually, if we hear again and again and again about our problems, about the means of its solution, of improving, again and again listen about Krishna, then eventually we will be able to understand it and we will stop deluding ourselves, conceiving ourselves. This is the solution that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is offering here to remain in the society of advanced devotees. Actually, this is not a simple thing to do. Actually, it's quite difficult for a person to stay in the society of pure devotees for a long time. For some time it's possible. But basically, this is quite painful experience. To see your own problems is another painful experience. To be aware of that I have problems, this is because usually we think we don't have any problems. Srila Prabhupada once told one devotee who came to him, I have this problem. Prabhupada looked at him and told him, you don't have any problem, you are the problem. So we start to understand that I am the problem. When we think that I have this small problem, that small problem, this is nothing. When we understand that I have a disease, that my mind is a disease. My mind is one big problem. This is quite painful experience. Painful. So when we are in the association of pure devotees, their purity is the source of constant pain and constant irritation and constant... It's not possible to be that pure. How is it possible? This is not practical. So when we are near clear mirror of his mind, and in the pure, in the clear mirror of his heart, we can see our reflection. Because we usually look into the dirty mirror of our mind, and everything is fine there. We have everything sent there, all the makeup, everything. But when we look into the pure mirror of his mind, from time to time. We want to look only into the mirror of our mind. Mirror, tell me who is the most beautiful, like in that story. And this is the
Spieglein an der Wand. Wer ist die schönste im ganzen Land?
So yesterday we spoke about that association with the pure devotees and listening to them. Not just associating, but prasangam means we listen. Sangam means that we listen to what they want to tell us, and we accept it. And Kirtanam means what? That we are trying to repeat what we have heard from them. And after all, this is the only way to gradually solve our problems. There is a type of devotees who say that you do not require live guru. Srila Prabhupada is an amazing, because he did everything required. And Srila Prabhupada once answered this question, answered this thing himself. He was asked what is most important, association with book Bhagavata or with devotee Bhagavata. Prabhupada said that it's more important to associate with devotee Bhagavata because book cannot hit you in your head. Because book, it's good, but we still interpret it in a way by the use of our mind, which is accustomed to, you know, to make things more beautiful. When we read in the book about a pure devotee, the mind says, this is about you. But when we read there about some faults, the mind says, yeah, so many examples are around me. So many vivid examples of all these awful qualities of Maya. This is the problem. And Shravanam and Kirtanam are very important. But Shravanam and Kirtanam should become Smaranam. In order for the transformation to take place in our heart, it's very important for Shravanam and Kirtanam to become constant remembering. Unfortunately, we tend to forget. Forgetfulness is the nature of the living being. Forgetfulness is the nature of the conditioned soul. But quite often we forget what we came to the society of devotees for. Why did we accept our guru? We forget our vows that we gave him. Till the end of my life, I promise to follow this and that. To chant at least 16 nice, good, sincere, attentive rounds, never leave his call. To serve Srila Prabhupada. How often one forgets that? Association with devotees or listening to the devotees, contacting Shabda Brahman is highly required in order to keep our mind. Krishna stresses this point in Bhagavad Gita when he says, the essence of the spiritual life, the image of the spiritual life and of the anartha nimitta is remembrance. And this is the change. Shravanam Kirtanam Smaranam. We will be able to go on fighting with our problems, fighting with all that which is inside us. Only when these three principles are there, right before us, in front of us. Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Smaranam. And this is our method, this is our way. Gradually, by Smaranam, we will be able to see all these problems, and we will be able to, one by one, get rid of all those problems and anarthas which separate ourselves from Krishna. And here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing not the indirectly he is describing the main anarthas which one should overcome while describing the label of attaining nishtha or the label of stable practice. Indirectly he is saying that he is describing things which are the obstacles on the way of gaining this stability. And the first is another solution. One should become humbler than a blade of grass. The biggest problem, the biggest enemy of love is pride. Pride and love are two qualities which are almost antagonistic to one another. Where there is love, there is no pride. Where there is pride, there is no love. In the material world, we can see it nicely. We can feel it because pride is something that destroys all relationships. All relationships are destroyed due to one, this quality, pride. And if we want to keep our pride, we will not have any relationships. And if we want to have relationships, if we value relationships, we have to at least develop pridelessness, at least in the association of the people whom we want to associate with. And humility, or actually pride is always a quality that is there, is going after something that I have, like, for example, to my body. It always refers to something, like, to my body, to something else that I have. The principle of pride is... is the feeling of possession, feeling of possession. And basically these are synonyms, feeling, sense of possession and pride. These are the same thing. Like in Bengali they say that Riksha is proud of Tupaisa. Riksha Wala is proud of Tupaisa that he has. So when one thinks that he has something, when he feels as if he has something, he immediately starts becoming proud of it, whatever it be. If he has nothing, he starts being proud of not having anything. He gives, makes his poorness or the reason for pride. Whatever we have, we start to become proud. And pride breeds contempt to anybody else. I have this, he doesn't have this. Or otherwise it's envy or jealousy to those who have it in more quantity. And the problem is why it eventually destroys the relationships, why it is opposite to the love. And the reason is very simple. When one has nothing, when he understands that nothing belongs to him, he cannot be proud of that. I cannot be proud of the money in others' pocket. Is it right? In order to be proud of something, I have to have it. To think it's mine. Sometimes people are proud of their children, but do they become proud of others' children? No, because they're not theirs. In order to be proud of something, I have to think this is mine. And basically, any proud person is a thief. Any proud person in this world is a thief, who is proud of something which doesn't belong to him, because basically nothing belongs to us. A wealthy person is proud of his money, especially if he has a lot of money. Sometimes I have to, because of the Moscow Temple project, I have to associate with wealthy people, rich people, and this is a very nice exercise of humility.
Si
Sometimes I think, is it possible to be like that? When a person has a lot of everything, the more he has, the more he understands he has, the more and more proud he becomes. And he thinks that he is so important. So what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying here, he's saying here that you shouldn't become proud of what you have, because eventually we got all of that from Krishna. The body we got from whom? Krishna. The body was created, the body was given to us by Krishna. The body is eating what Krishna gives us. The body is living because Krishna gives the energy, but we think, oh, this is me. I have such a good digestion. Oh, I have so much strength. And the example is very simple. The officer in the bank, sometimes he can transfer billions of dollars. During a day, he may be transferring millions of dollars, but is he going to be proud of that? Oh, today I transferred billions of dollars. No, not even a silly man will ever think that he can be proud of that, because this money, that money doesn't belong to him. If this officer, just for a moment, start to become proud of the money that he's transferring, what will the authority think about him? If all of a sudden he thinks that this is all his, the CEO of the bank, will he like that? No, the CEO and the CEO of the World Bank, whose name starts from K and ends with A. Kuvirada. Tolerance. But still we are proud of everything. But as I said, proud destroys all the relationships. What is this humility? What is the humility that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing here? That means that I simply understand who I am actually. And who takes the credit for everything that I have? I don't think I possess anything. Human beings are created in such a way that they always think that they possess something, and they want to enjoy this. In this way we steal it from Krishna. And if I understand that I'm a servant, like this officer in the bank, that my only duty is to serve. The only thing I can do is to serve. So that everything that I need for that is provided for me by Krishna. The only thing I can do is to serve and to use everything that he gave me for his service. In that case, I take my original and natural position. Sometimes people think that this is a serious mistake that people are doing. People think that humility is some additional artificial quality that I put on the artificiality of my consciousness. I just added. I have my artificial mind, and in this artificial mind I'm trying to possess everything, to possess glories, to possess fame, etc. And in order to get more fame and recognition, I should add some thin layer of humility on the top of it. And in this way we get Russian Krishna consciousness moment. I'm so humble. Let's see what he did. Oh, I'm so fallen. I'm the most fallen. the point of humility is that I get rid of the false ego. I'm not trying to think that I possess something that I do not possess, but my ego remains. Ego means my self-esteem. Self-esteem and false ego are not antonyms, are not opposites. Actually, self-esteem and humility are two things which are mutually related to each other, but I'm just trying to be someone who I'm not. And humility is a very simple thing, that everything I have, I use it in Krishna's service. My self-esteem is my ego, but my real ego is that I always constantly feel that I'm a servant. I have no other goals. I'm not trying by the means of this, I'm not trying to gain something else. Service is my nature, is my eternal dharma, which cannot be taken away from me. The living being is a servant by its nature. Like they tell us a story when Prabhupada was giving lecture. Those were the first days on 26 Second Avenue, New York, and he was speaking about this, that the service is the nature of the living being. You cannot help but serve. And if I'm firm in this, this is humility. I'm not trying to act as if I were something else. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do by my nature, and I'm trying to get something back from that. At this moment, some drunkard entered the room. He was all beaten and scratched in some strange clothes, and everybody was like worried a little bit. He was drunk, and he went straight to Srila Prabhupada. People didn't know what to do. They were scared, and the drunkard, he put his arm somewhere behind his beneath his jacket. Maybe he's going to put out knife, but it was a toilet paper, and he put the toilet paper before Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told them, "I told you the nature of the living being is to serve." This was the end of the lecture, but the story has a continuation. Prabhupada finished his lecture by showing the example that even such creatures are coming and bringing the toilet paper, and Prabhupada started chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When he started chanting, this person, a drunk person, started to dance in ecstasy. He was swirling and he was dancing. After some time, the kirtan stopped, he left, and the next day, the same person, sober and impure and in clean suit, he came back and he started to listen to Prabhupada's lecture. This is how humility, with the understanding that I am a servant, how it purifies. Another important thing that I wanted to mention, I will quote one Christian saint who says that in this world there are three ways. One way is the death of slave. Way of slave. Slave. When one does something that he, because of the fear. This is the way of slave. Another, the way of an employee. If I am an employee, I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm waiting for reward. This is the way of employee. And the third is the way of love. He says there are three ways: that of slave, that of employee, and that of love. But what does this love start with? The love starts with the understanding. This question rises, how do I start this way of love? It starts with the understanding that it starts with Shravanam. When I really understand what I am, what I need to have to do in this world, what is my eternal, unchangeable nature. And this is humility. Once again, humility is just to understand what I am. Bhagavad Gita starts with the description of the size of the soul. The soul is like 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair. It's very simple. You take a hair, you can take one hair from your head if you still have any. Look at the tip of the hair, cut it into 100 pieces. Can you do that? When you take one hundredth and divide it into 100 pieces more. And that's what you get as a result. This is you. And if you understand this, what I am, then all your problems will be solved. Because such a tiny small, no problem can be fit into this tiny small. It is too small in order to contain so many unlimited problems that we have. Another piece of nature is a very simple thing. This is the understanding of what I am. That my nature is to always serve Krishna. And if I constantly remind myself about it, then that's it. I won't have any problem. Only happiness, endless happiness, which can be contained in a endlessly small soul. She can contain unlimited happiness. The soul can contain unlimited happiness. In Upanishads, when it is described there, it says anantyakal. The soul, although it is so tiny, tiny, small, potentially it can become unlimitedly big by containing the unlimited bliss. And the second quality, in other words, humility is not some artificial thing. If we have something, we should engage it. Use it, whatever we have, in Krishna service. If we have beauty, if we have intelligence, money, all fine, perfect, good. Please, join us. But don't be proud. You don't have to. Sometimes we hear Trinada Bhusamishina and say, what has to become humbler than you? One should, we think that one should become lower than the grass, meaning that I should go behind, like beneath the grass, under the ground. But actually our real ego is that I'm a servant, that I have to serve. Then comes Tarurivasa Hishnu. I should become as tolerant as the tree. Trees have one good quality. What is that? It stands on one place. Have you mentioned that? The tree stands here today. After 10 years you come here, it's still there, on the same place. After 20 years, after 100 years, it's still there. And we are moving because we are in the movement of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, today he is here, but tomorrow he is at Sai Baba or somewhere else.
Sorry, do we happen to have a tissue paper in your little
bag? Nobody has. They say that the tree is tolerant to such an extent that whether it be summer or winter, in good circumstances or bad circumstances, when it shines, the sun shines, the tree is there. When winter is there, the tree doesn't fly to the southern countries. Can you imagine such trees? Can you imagine that if during winter time all the trees fly from Russia to southern countries and in springtime they come back? So what it practically means, it means that often when everything is all right, when there are devotees around us who glorify us, and prasadam is good, and aditya-dukkha is there, and we go there, and but then someone else starts chanting kirtan, and we think, let me go somewhere else. And devotees start to look at us from, you know, like with some suspicion, because they all know philosophy and they can nicely understand when one is proud. Because, you know, devotees, it's quite difficult with devotees. Have you mentioned that? Just little and they immediately understand that. You cannot hide anything from them. And tolerance means that people will love on me. My mind will be always telling me, what are you doing? What are you doing all the time? But tolerance means that I'm here and I remain here. Actually, this is the quality of spirit. Spirit is immovable. Spirit is stable. It can tolerate anything. It doesn't depend on anything. This is the tolerance. And if one manifests these qualities, that means that he manifests the qualities of spirit. There is there's a story about the saint Ekanath. In 16th, 17th century, there were several saints in Ekanath, in Maharashtra. There was one of them, his name was Ekanath. And people knew that he was a saint, and they respected him. And in the village where he lived, there were several degraded people. In any village, there are several degraded people, fallen people who lost their humane face. And one of them entered once the saint in order to pay his obeisances, because he got some respect towards the saint and others. They gathered together to play cards. And this person was late. When he was late, they asked him, why are you late? We have sadhana, we have to play cards. You have to do business. And he said, but I visited Ekanath. And they started laughing at him, teasing him. Oh, why did you go there? Like that. But he said, but he's never angry. Because he's, I've never seen him angry, and I couldn't help but pay my obeisances to him, and everybody else started laughing. This is not possible. And one of the friends told him, I will prove you tomorrow. I will prove you that he actually becomes angry. Everybody will see that he's angry. And early in the morning he woke up, before the sunrise, he woke up in order to prove everybody, and he sat on the roof near the river, that river to the water of Godavari. He sat on the roof, and he took a lot of betel. You know, people chew betel. And betel has such a feature that it produces saliva. So in the morning, Ekanath went to take bath. He made, chanted all the mantras and everything else. And when he was going back to do puja, he was going next. Near that roof, the person was chewing betel, and he spit. Ekanath looked at it, and he saw this red big spot. And that person was, there was not a single emotion on his face. So he turned around and he went back and took his bath again. Again he chanted mantras, again he made all the rites, and he went back the same way. And again he went to take bath, to chant mantras. Third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, seventh time, eighth, tenth, twentieth time, thirtieth time. Eventually, the poor guy couldn't move his mouth. No saliva. Not a single muscle could move. So Ekanath just calmly went when there was no saliva at all. He came down and he said, how did you manage that? How do you? How, why didn't you get angry? He said, because I was looking at you. You was my example. How come that you were, if you can be so stable in your spitting, why can't I be stable in what I'm doing? If you were so fixed in your sadhana, so I thought that I should be also fixed. So, and therefore, beside that, every time I was feeling so happy about it, because if it were not for you, would I take 20 times bath in this river? And also when you were doing this, I was thinking, okay, I will wash this thing away. But if I get angry now, then this anger will remain in my mind. And that will be the dirt that I will not be able to wash away. And with that dirt, I will come to Krishna. How can I serve him with that dirt? You cannot serve Krishna with dirt in your mind. Therefore, I was very thankful to you, and I went back to the river and to take bath again. Thank you very much. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us. If we understand who we are, what we are, and this is coming because of the hearing and hearing again and again what I am, what is the goal of my life. Eventually one day become tolerant. humble and tolerant. Tolerance means the ability to tolerate all the chastisements, chastisings and everything that this world has, into trying to check our tolerance. And at the same time, we should not leave the path of the spiritual process, because this is the path and everything else is not a path. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes further. Amalina. And this is the most important and most difficult thing. The most difficult recommendation. If we see this verse as the recommendation for spiritual practice, as something that we should do. Aid for it. This is the most difficult, because we should not expect for any respect towards us. Sachinandan Maharaj told us that this pratishtha, desire for fame, is the last thing which is still there when all the other anarthas go away. Actually, this is the verse that Sanatana Goswami gives here. In he said that thousands of anarthas have left my heart. A huge load of dirt has left my heart, but this one only, the only one, the last anarthas, is still there. Desire for recognition. I can get rid of anything, food and air and anything, if somebody respects me for that. I will not breathe in. I will stay on one hand, on one leg. I will stay without any legs. I can sacrifice my life. But everybody should respect me for that. Somehow or other, this quality, pratishtha, is the last thing for. And Sanatana Goswami compares this pratishtha with the stool or a hog. Sukarera Vishnu, the stool of a hog. Stool of a hog is a hog and multiplies itself. Like because a hog eats stool. Because they eat stool and then they we have this stool. So our stool is not that bad, because this is digested Gulab Jamun or digested Halawa. But if we eat this stool again, and this is pratishtha. This is the desire for recognition. Why is it so awful? Because usually one wants respect for his so-called good qualities, for his some deeds that he did. In other words, all this qualities or just the means for me, just the means to eventually receive this subtle enjoyment of being glorified. One is doing some spiritual things. Why? In order for the recognition. Wow, they put a garland on me. Wow, such a beautiful garland. This is all stupid. But one is accustomed to eating this stool of the hall. What is happening? This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing. He's telling us that this person will never be able to receive real stability in his mind required in order to practice spiritual life and become concentrated on Krishna. When one doesn't have these qualities, his mind is easily disturbed. His mind can be easily disturbed. One can be even act as if he is humble. He may be even tolerant. If people will respect him for that. If one has respect inside, he will have so many problems, anger and like envy, but he will not show that. He will not exhibit it, so everybody will think, oh, he's so tolerant, he's so humble. But if you do not respect him, here everything will be seen. If you don't respect such a person, if you don't... Что он сделает? Что он сделает? So he will say, why they didn't show respect to me? Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amanina. Amanina means, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't need this. I understand that I don't need this quality. No respect will make me happy. I will become happy only when I pray for Krishna. A desire for respect is an obstacle on my way of getting love. If I want love, I should stop being dependent on this desire for respect. If one is attached to this respect, then his mind becomes always agitated. He cannot think about Krishna. He cannot concentrate on the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He will be always thinking, who they are? Who are they? Why they do not bow down? Why they don't tell me Hare Krishna? Why they do not smile to me? Why didn't they see me, didn't mention my presence? Sometimes, I know, sometimes people get offended simply because you didn't see him. People get offended. Deadly offense. For 10 years they remember about that. Why? Because this is the program in our mind. We instinctively think that I am God. God means I am in the center. God means one whom everybody looks at. And I am God, therefore nobody can look at Ruchka. You have that? Yeah, Maharaj lost his pen. You're very small, you're 1/10,000th of that. You can. Nobody can see you because you're too small. Actually. But the main thing is amanina. If I have this man, this desire for respect, this, I think I'm very important, and my mind will never be satisfied. How much respect you give to this mind, he will not be satisfied. It will just go there. And I will just need more and more and more because I need love. And this respect is a substitute for love. I think that this is love, but actually, If I don't get rid of this, I will not be ever able to feel real life. Even towards some ordinary beings, what to speak about Krishna? That means I will never get achieve real love. We all say that the nature of real love is selflessness. Ahadki means that there is no reason, no cause. And we want Ahadki, Bhakti. We want so that everybody loves us without any cause. Who wants that, to be loved without any cause? Even we are ready to, you know, to love somebody else, but only if they love us without any cause. These are the conditions that we have, that we put. If you want causeless love, if you want to feel causeless love, we have to stop putting some conditions. Just say, mention my presence, then I will love you. Well, this is Haituki already. Haitu is there. Causeless love means I don't have any cause, any condition. I'm just ready to love. And Maharaj Yudhishthira, in his answers to Yaksha, he said one very important thing. Yakshasti, he asked him several questions. One of the questions, there were many questions, 100 questions. One of them was, what one should get rid of? What one should get rid of in order not to feel suffering? In order to become wealthy, in order to become happy, and in order to feel love, experience love, in order to become dear to someone. Four questions he asked him. What one should get rid of in order to get all that? Do you want not to feel misery? What you should get rid of? What do you think? Attachments. If one gets rid of anger, of the thoughts that everybody should do what I want to do. Krodha is a certain energy which is derived in the concept that everything should be in the way I think it should be. And when something goes wrong, I feel anger. Therefore, I will be always miserable because nothing will happen according to my plan. Because I'm not Krishna. Only in Krishna's case it works. If I'm not Krishna, nothing will be according to my plan. Therefore, Yudhishthira said, Kurdham Hitva Anushuchati. Yaksha asked him, what do you want to become wealthy? Do you want to become wealthy? Anybody? One person, three people, four. Here is secret comes. What you should get rid of in order to become wealthy. Yudhishthira said, you should get rid of kama, the desire. Then immediately you will become wealthy. Because if you don't need anything, you are wealthy. When you always want something, you are better. You are poor. But if you don't want anything, then nothing is required. That means I'm wealthy. Good method, isn't it? But in order to become happy, sukham bhavet. Lobam hitva sukham bhavet. If you want to become happy, you should get rid of lobha. Greed, yeah. Greedy, he's always wants to to get more and more and more. But you get rid of greed and you will become happy. And at the very end, what one should get rid of in order to receive love, achieve love. Manamhidva. One becomes dear to others when he gets rid of man, the desire for respect, pride. So when one a manina, he becomes pritomavit, poverty, he becomes very dear to others. But unless we always want this aspect and attention from others, we will not be able to understand what real love is. The last is manadana. Try mitzvah and manadana is a very simple thing. You should just show respect to each and every one. You should not expect any respect. But you should be ready to show respect to everyone. So when we do not expect, this is a very important thing that we should understand. If we do not expect any respect, it doesn't mean the respect will not come. The respect will come, but we are not expecting that, we don't need it. Vice versa, we start to understand that the most valuable thing that we have in our relationships is the ability to show respect. This is real happiness when you see something good in others and you have chance to show respect to that person, to be happy that he is serving Krishna. This is the fourth instruction or recommendation. When one becomes so, the natural desire to show respect naturally comes from his heart. I told you already that these are the four qualities of spirit. If we take Krishna, who is the original manifestation, the original source of spirit and everything that is there, we will see that he has all those qualities. If someone has these qualities, then this is Krishna actually. Krishna became the charioteer of Arjuna. Isn't this humility? Krishna, 18 times he tolerated Jarasandha's attacks. Finally, he just left Mathura. Isn't this tolerance? In Ramayana there is a beautiful story, small story, of how Ramachandra was fighting Ravana. When Ramachandra was fighting Ravana, in the beginning, he faced a huge army with all the tanks and the chariots and the rockets and everything. And Ravana is standing there, he's equipped. But Rama was bare feet. He had nothing, just bow and arrows. Indra saw that. And Indra came down and he said, "You cannot fight with someone on a chariot without a chariot. Please take my chariot." And he gave his chariot here. Matali was his chariot. And Rama, with respect, accepted not to offend Indra. So he went on the chariot. And when the battle started, he told Mata, "Go there, get here, go here," like that. He was like steering, as any person should, you know, command his driver, especially during the battle. What happened afterwards, suddenly Rama thought, "Oh, I'm sorry. Matari, please excuse me, I forgot that you are a charioteer of Indra himself." And actually, due to ignorance, I started ordering to you. You please put your chariot somewhere. I have no right to order to give orders to you. And this is Krishna, God. He has no false pride. So with his humility, he is ready to approach anyone because he has no complexes. This ability to show respect to anybody. Krishna also showed that during Rajasuya Yagya, when Pandavas were thinking who would do what during the Rajasuya Yagya. The problem was that someone had to wash the feet of the guests, of all the guests coming there. And for a long time they were discussing who could do that. First they thought people should do that. Bhima can break legs, but not wash legs. He cannot wash legs. Can you imagine some kinglet is coming, some maharajlet, some small maharaja or rajlet is coming in order for the sacrifice to be successful, everyone should be satisfied. Therefore, everybody should be shown respect. For that, the master, the host of the sacrifice, should wash everyone's feet. Bhima said, no, better I don't do that. We shouldn't do that. And Yudhishthira said, but I'm an emperor, how can I do that? And Krishna said, no problem, I can wash feet. I will wash feet. Just like Jesus Christ did. When he was leaving this world, what did he do? To show us the example. He washed the feet of his disciples, each and every one. Personally, he did it. In order to show how we should act. And as a result, such a Mahaprabhu was saying here, Kirtanya Sanahari, in that state of mind, clear state of mind. First time doing this as a sadhana, but because mind is not clear, it still thinks about something else, but gradually, by using this as a method, my mind becomes crystal clear, and then the holy name will be constantly vibrating there, 24 hours a day. The holy name will be vibrating in my mind, because this is the treasure which is in the depths of my heart. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. One will not be able to separate himself from this holy name when these qualities are there, and this is called Nishtha. My mind is completely fixed on the holy name. There is nothing that can disturb my mind or I'm a distant lens, it's called member, so I'm finishing already. The holy name will always be giving us new and new tastes, which are actually the characteristics of love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that not that one becomes a robot, one puts some loop in his, loop function in his mind, and constantly does it. Not because in this, in such a mind, in such a consciousness, such a heart, the Holy Name will be live, because it is live. It's always new, it's always giving some new and new feelings. Because on this stage we understand that the Holy Name is Krishna. Only on this stage we understand that Holy Name is life. It's not it, it's He. That this is Krishna Himself. And we chant His Holy Name and associate with Him. And in this endless association we derive endless happiness. And this is the love experience from the viewpoint of the of Bhava and Prema. It's not that high level, but actually this is quite a high level when one understands that Nama and Nami, name and the named, are non-different. Therefore, Kirtanya Sadahari. Before that level, we do not understand that the name and the named are not different. Therefore, the association with the Holy Name doesn't give me the experience that it may possibly give to me. And when this love is there, then the Holy Name never leaves me. Never leaves my tongue. A great Russian poet wrote a poem about the Holy Name. She didn't know that she was writing about Krishna, but she described the experience of how one deals with the name of his beloved or her beloved. What is the experience of, what is the experience of chanting the name of the beloved person? It has nothing to do with Vedas, but I think it may tell us something. Your name is a bird in my hand. Can you feel it? When you have a bird in your hand, it moves. It pulses. Have you ever had a bird in your head? Your name is ice on my tongue. Can you imagine some ice or ice cream on your tongue? She's describing this experience. The single movement of the lips. Your name has five letters in it. The ball that is caught. The silver bell in the mouth. Can you feel it? Silver bell in the mouth. Can you imagine the silver bell which is vibrating in his mouth? Krishna. This is how she is describing her experience of chanting the Holy Name. Definitely she reached Nishtha level. These are the qualities of love. When one loves someone, when a mother loves her child, she becomes humble, isn't that? Because you have to wash the stool of a child. Can a proud man do that? No, if she were not humble, she would just leave him there. Let it be like it is. This is not my problem, this is his problem. But she is tolerant. So many times during the night, the mother has to wake up. She cannot say, oh, Jesus, how much is... What are you doing all the time? Shut up. No, she is paying respect. She is running around this child. The child, he doesn't even say thank you. He never says anything. Maximum he can do, he can make a bubble. Or smile sometimes. And she thinks, wow, so great. He smiles. Thank you. This is the nature of love. Another piece of nature of that woman. Thank you so much.